Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live and broadcasting worldwide. Thank you so much for joining us on this September 15th, 2014 worldwide transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones. Obviously, the Ebola story is really starting to get huge and is incredibly important. They estimate more than 20,000 people, very conservative number, have Ebola right now in Africa as it exponentially spreads across the continent. And we have this story by Paul Joseph Watson at Infowars.com. It's top linked on DrudgeReport.com. U.S. State Department orders 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. Paul Watson co-hosted the Sunday show last night. And I heard him breaking this down. He has the article out today. Bulk purchases prompts concerns about spread of deadly epidemic. Continuing, CDC issues Ebola checklist. Now is the time to prepare. That story is also on Drudge. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warned hospitals and doctors that now is the time to prepare. Has issued a six-page Ebola checklist to help healthcare workers quickly determine if patients are infected. While the CDC does not believe there are any new cases of Ebola in the United States, the assumption is the checklist is that it is only a matter of time before the virus hits home. For example, one part reads, encouraging healthcare personnel to use a buddy system when caring for patients. Another recommends a process to report cases to top officials. And it goes on, the checklist has been distributed to major hospitals and even little ones, including Urgent Center in Leesburg, Virginia. And that dovetails again with our article directly from the FedBiz website that they have ordered the 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits for Ebola. Bulk purchase prompts concerns about spread of deadly epidemic. That's also being reported by Fox News. The U.S. State Department has ordered 160,000 hazmat suits for Ebola, prompting concerns that the federal government is anticipating the rapid spread of a virus that has already claimed an unprecedented number of lives. In a press release posted to MarketWatch, Lakeland Industries, a manufacturer of industry productive protective clothing for first responders, announced that it had signaled its intention to join the fight against the spread of Ebola by encouraging other suppliers to meet the huge demand created by the U.S. State Department ordering 160,000 hazmats. And they've put out other similar purchase orders, again, on the FedBizOps website. With the U.S. State Department alone putting out a bid for 160,000 suits, we encourage all protective apparel companies to increase their manufacturing capacity for sealed seam garments so that our industry can do its part in addressing this threat to global health. And it just goes on from there. I'll read more when we come back from break. But this is pretty frightening information. Friday, we covered the articles. In fact, will you guys re-pull those out of the stack? Where top virologist out of Germany, top World Health Organization virologist and others are saying millions are infected. Millions more will be infected. And that they believe 5 million will die. I'm not saying any of that. A month ago, or more than a month ago, back on August 4th, we talked about public documents that governments have believed for 2 years that airborne is becoming somewhat airborne. Not extremely airborne, but can survive in the air long enough to be transmitted. And we know it's gestating longer, so that's why there's undoubtedly also carriers that are immune or resistant, but that the viral titer stays high in, according to the medical literature I've read.
Your torches of wisdom. So we have even right there.
What's his name?
6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. It is already the 15th day, hard to believe, of September 2014. Before we know it, we'll be into 2015, 2016, and beyond. Obviously, we're going to be focusing front and center on Ebola today. But we have the backdrop of stories like this one out of the Daily Mail. Dozens of Christians, including women and children, are arrested in Saudi Arabia after tip-off to state's Islamicist police force having a secret Christian meeting. That is who our government is most allied with in the Middle East, is a group that will chop your head off if you're caught secretly worshiping Christ. Where is the tolerance? We have the radical Islamic lobby in this country constantly pushing for everyone to basically adopt their worldview. And we're so politically correct that we can't even hardly criticize ISIS as it runs around murdering people because it's Saudi Arabia funding the entire operation. And it's since come out over the weekend that indeed almost all of the so-called rebels are the Al-Qaeda ISIS people in Syria that Obama is now saying he's going to pay money to fight ISIS. And then they just change their name to something else and attack Assad with all the new aid and weapons they've been given. That's the real game plan here. The American people woke up a year ago and didn't want to join forces with Al-Qaeda openly to attack a sovereign nation that had done nothing to anybody, Syria. Also, a pipeline can be run out of the Mediterranean, right through Israel and Lebanon, straight through Syria, up to Europe to cut off the Russians. That's one of the big reasons this is happening. And it's piracy using American muscle and money and military weapons and then our name so that big oil companies, the globalists, and others can have control of that region completely, which will also drive up gas prices again because they're not trying to compete with Russian gas. They're trying to cut off Russian gas in the Ukraine or take it. Joe Biden's son is the head of a company now that's worth billions overnight that's declared ownership of basically Russian gas supplies and Russian gas corridors. It is just wild to see how Al Capone all of this is, but it's Al Capone squared. And then, of course, as I've told you over and over again, they will use the new Al-Qaeda threat under the name ISIL, ISIS, or IS to take American liberties and set up a bigger police state. This is in Politico today. Holder launches media campaign against homegrown terrorist. Cities across the nation to participate in pilot program of basically see something, say something. This is the cover for the checkpoints of the federalization. And then they'll flip it back onto the Tea Party, gun owners, veterans, things like that. So we're going to be breaking all of that down today. Now, let's talk about the computer models. Last week, top German virologist came out in Bild, one of the biggest German publications, and said, quote, it's too late, Ebola will kill 5 million, close quote, according to current computer models. And you have all these different African countries like Liberia and others, Sierra Leone, saying it may collapse them completely, and it's much higher than 20,000. The numbers are 100,000 with Ebola by December, because it's exponentially growing right now. Ebola outpaces global response. Who says? That was on Friday. Let's look at the headlines today. These are up on drudgereport.com. CDC, prepare for Ebola. That's out of the Washington Beacon, with direct links to the CDC, putting out the alerts to hospitals saying, prepare for it. Then we have this report from Infowars.com, directly linking to the State Department purchase order. State Department orders 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits alone for themselves. So, who was right back on August 4th, a month and 12 days ago, or 11 days ago? Who was right? I'm going to say this again. Who was right to put out news articles saying it was becoming a serious epidemic and threatened millions, and that top virologists and others were saying they believe that it made the first step towards going completely airborne, meaning it could survive inside sneeze droplets, mucus, spit, and look like it might even be going more airborne than that? Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. We simply pointed to medical reports, mainline news from 2 years ago, saying that. And then we asked the question, why then is the mainstream media attacking us for saying this? Because for some reason they didn't want the public to understand how big a crisis this was, and that it was growing and it was real. Plus, it was fun to attack the new media, the real media, the non-state-run media. The talking point, for whatever reason, was Ebola's no big deal. It's fear-mongering to talk about it. While governments got prepared, I don't know. Or is this a staged bio-attack? Has it been weaponized? I don't know. Have Western governments been messing with Ebola for decades, trying to weaponize it? That's come out. Yeah, there it is. Conspiracy theorist joins Dick Morris and shares views on Ebola outbreak, claims it could be airborne. That was August 6th when Paul Watson was on CBS News with Dick Morris. And then the next day they came out and made fun of him. Conspiracy theorist Paul Watson says it could be airborne. No, Watson on CBS cited the federal and CDC studies and the World Health Organization studies from 2011, 2012 on the laboratory test showing it was making it from a pen of monkeys to a pen of pigs that were not in the same area, meaning airborne. And then finally on Friday, or actually Thursday, September 11th, what we're all afraid to say about Ebola, New York Times, that it's beginning to go airborne and mutating. More than 200 known mutations in just the last few months. So there you go. I don't know the truth of how bad it is. I don't think anybody does, because there's not a lot of medical surveillance, as they would call it, in Africa. But I tell you, everything that hits Africa, HIV, Ebola, you name it, we know HIV is a weaponized autoimmune disorder that is race-specific and much worse. It was in the medical literature in the 80s that it's much worse in Africans, and then it goes down the line genetically into Hispanics and others, that HIV is much, much, much more aggressive in a more what they would call dominant trait bloodline. Everything white is recessive mutation. Redheads are a completely recessive mutation, almost not even on the current human chain. And I'm part redhead. I'm not bashing redheads here. This is just the stuff they don't tell people. So see, they can make whatever they want, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very, very dangerous to attack, though, the original human bloodline. Because the elite think they can control all this stuff. A, it's immoral and evil. B, it could end up spreading across the board. And, of course, it could be an accident, too. All these labs, all these vaccines being produced, all these GMO systems crossing animals and plants and animals with animals and fish with insects. I mean, it is just, who knows? But they use medical ignorance out there about all these issues. So the public has no idea what's even going on. But it's getting serious. I'm going to say this again. U.S. State Department orders 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. Bulk purchases prompts concerns about spread of deadly epidemic. Infowars.com. The Examiner. CDC issues Ebola checklist. Now it's time to prepare. This is confirmed from the local hospitals. They have copies of the checklist. So I want to open the phones up for medical doctors, for nurses, for people that have been in the Congo, been in the West Coast of Africa, been in Central Africa, people that work at the CDC, folks that have survived different types of jungle viral infections. What does your gut tell you about this? Then you've got the Army and the Marines for at least 6 years training during a biological outbreak in the training manuals. This is Associated Press, Reuters, you name it. If you're a new listener, this sounds crazy. So just please look it up for yourself. In fact, we'll come back and read one of the articles because it sounds so wild. To, quote, kill zombies en masse during a biological outbreak where humans are running around biting and killing each other from a virus. Well, the closest thing you could liken that to is Ebola. So the Marines and the Army are training to mow people down en masse during this while they've brought patients to South Dakota and four patients to Atlanta and patients to Spain and Germany and all over, bringing Ebola in when it's never been done before. And where now it gestates over several weeks, not 3 days, so you can just spread it and spread it and spread it as a carrier. It's just Ebola just got legs, basically.
We've got it. The transmission is coming to you.
All right, I'd really like to hear from medical doctors. I'd like to hear from virologists. I'd like to hear from people that have worked in Africa and other areas dealing with these type of viruses. We've had medical doctors on. We've had virologists on. But it's always interesting just to get your take on this. I also want to ask the public just in general, but doctors and medical people go to the head of the line, where do you think this whole Ebola situation is going? Again, if you just tuned in, it's the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. The news websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. U.S. State Department has ordered 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. CDC has issued Ebola checklist saying, quote, now is the time to prepare to U.S. hospitals. This is confirmed. Dutch Ebola doctors to be evacuated on Sunday. And this broke yesterday. Two Dutch doctors feared to have contracted deadly Ebola virus while working in Sierra Leone are set to be flown back to the Netherlands as soon as possible. This is what's happening. There's like a race by governments to get people that have it, I guess, to take their blood and try to figure out a cure or weaponize it. I don't know. But my dad pointed out, and he's got a biology background, is also an oral surgeon and worked in drug development. And I looked it up last night when he mentioned it to me yesterday. When I was over at his house with the kids swimming. I looked it up, and it's a whole area that hadn't been looked at yet that we should probably write about. And that's that you don't just have this lasting weeks now in the body. Instead of taking days to show signs, you can spread it further. You're going to have carriers who have a, quote, high viral titer whose bodies haven't beaten it, but that they're not dying from it. And there's always a percentage of people with different mutations genetically to be able to handle it. And it's inside those people that you get the mutations of the virus because it just keeps cooking in there. It can go through a lot of different permutations inside one person. And undoubtedly, there's master carriers out there like Typhoid Mary, better known as Typhoid Mary. Mary Mallon was the first person in the United States identified as an asymptomatic carrier of the pathogen associated with typhoid fever. She was presumed to have infected 53 people, three of whom died, over the course of her career as a cook. She was twice forcibly isolated by public health authorities and died after a total of nearly three decades in isolation. So there is undoubtedly the typhoid Marys of Ebola out there right now. And that's a big question here that my dad was raising. And again, when I looked it up, it was like, wow, this is well known. That you can't just bring these doctors and nurses back here and keep them for a few months and let them go. Because it's very hard to identify if somebody's still got the virus embedded in them, it might pop back up and keep spreading, basically. And that's layman, just for me reading the medical info. And that's all I do. 5 weeks ago, I was just reading CDC reports that they believed Ebola was beginning to go airborne. And they confirmed it was monkeys on one end of the lab were infecting pigs on another end in test in Africa. And there's other studies. So I said, hey, write about that. And because we were the first to point it out, oh, no, you can't break something. You can't be smart. You can't think of basic logic. No, you're a liar. Drudge is a liar. Drudge is fear-mongering. How dare Drudge? Remember Geraldo Rivera? How dare Drudge hype the Ebola and the rest of it? Well, I think all the political correctness is trumped by the fact that Ebola makes you bleed out in a horrible way and it's extremely painful and is spreading exponentially. I think it's political correct to just kind of brush off Africa and just not discuss it. See how they use that actually to cover stuff up. And so we need to have Paul Watson or whoever write an article or somebody else out there. Ebola carriers, sleeper cells of Ebola carriers could already be in the U.S. or could already be in Europe. Something like that, because that's the angle that I'm worried about. When I sit here and look at this, what do I think about? Myself, my children, the larger community where my children live, humanity, my goodwill. I'm worried about Typhoid Mary, Typhoid Ebola. I'm worried about Ebola Mary. Ebola Mary. We know that some carriers can carry viruses for years and keep infecting. Are there Ebola Marys loose in the world today? Undoubtedly in Africa, there are people that have survived from it, but the virus is staying active in them. So already in Africa, this is like a zombie apocalypse. It's already reached that area.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run.
It's not fear-mongering.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Exactly as we said it would. We'll be right back.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
I don't want to be in your British hell. Boy, Scotland is getting ready to vote in a couple days to break away from the United Kingdom. And I could imagine they can play this song. I don't want to be in your London dungeon. I don't want to be in your British hell. They call us walking corpses. They'd like to lock us up. Put us in their pretty pins. I don't want to be in your British hell. Crank it up. All the corpses here are clean, boy. All right, that's Misfits bringing us in. I am your host, Alex Jones. We're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. I want to hear from medical doctors, EMTs, people that have dealt with hazmat situations in hot zones. I know you're out there listening. We have millions of listeners worldwide. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Since I mentioned it, they did find Christian Science Monitor, AP, you name it. We'll put those back on screen from 2012, 2013, where the Army and where FEMA and where the CDC, there's raw story, U.S. military trains to fight zombies. U.S. military forces train for zombie apocalypse, November 2012, for a viral outbreak that turns the population into something like Walking Dead. What is the only virus to be close to this? That's rabies, which they've always been worried might go airborne and is similar to Ebola. In fact, a lot of experts believe that the super weapon would be Ebola crossed with airborne rabies. They found another one. CNN, Pentagon document lays out battle plan against zombies. No, they don't want to freak the public out, so they call them zombies. But if you read the paperwork, and then they have actual drills, it's to mow down masses of crowds for a viral outbreak, but also during civil unrest. Like in the scene in V for Vendetta, that's kind of based on what happened with the fall of Ceausescu in Romania. You got hundreds of thousands of people marching up to the ministry, and the troops refuse to fire on them, so they take down the corrupt government. Well, they want the troops to mow the people down. So it's a simulant to say, oh, they're not human, they're zombies, and to train troops to mow down peaceful crowds. But it's also in the training duel, like all military training is generally on multi-facets. They are carrying it out in preparation for an Ebola, a human-transmitted mouse pox, something like that. Human-transmitted mouse pox, and it only takes a couple hundred thousand dollars to design this with the right laboratory. The FBI tried to block its release 4 years ago but was unable to. They have released in the U.S., Canada, and Australia three different university studies that are public on how to make human mouse pox that kills 90-plus percent of people. Some numbers are 98%. Now, some idiots, every time I mention that, send me emails saying, how dare you tell people that the mouse pox recipe is out? It was all over the news, okay? It's like when we go show the southern borders open, people say, don't show it's wide open. The terrorist, believe me, if there's any terrorists down there, they know it's open. More information exposes it's open and hopefully gets it under control. Sunshine is what stops these type of political infections. There it is. Killer mousepox virus raises bioterror fears, 2001. Killer mousepox virus raises bioterror fears. And that was New Scientist. And back then, they hadn't released it yet. Hadn't released how to make it. And Western governments, who I don't usually agree with, tried to stop it for a long time, but it was released. There's the New York Times. Bioterror researchers build a more lethal mousepox. And so this is an ongoing serial situation where it just happens repeatedly because governments continually try to block it. MI6, FBI, don't release that. And generally, I'm all for releasing university research, but they shouldn't be creating weaponized mousepox and weaponized Ebola. They shouldn't be creating weaponized rabies. And they sure shouldn't be releasing how to do it. Now, call me a conspiracy theorist. Common sense is now called conspiracy theory. That's all I'm doing is putting out common sense here. If you just joined us, Obama to ask for $88 million to boost anti-Ebola effort. That's out of therappler.com. What does that mean? You're doing that to then fly more Ebola patients back here and then put them in facilities that don't even have proper protection in them? Again, we pointed this out back last month and we're called evil demons for saying, why are you flying people in when it's never been done before and you're not supposed to? And this stuff could clearly already be airborne and you're not even putting them in level 4 bioweapons labs. You're putting them in university research hospitals. This is crazy. And I'm trying to not rant and rave here, but it is just amazing to have CBS News call us conspiracy theorists on August 6th. And AP and everybody else, because we dared link to federal documents that are on the CDC website. How dare us? And I'm not making this about InfoWars and whining here. I'm angry because what are they doing producing weaponized mousepox, weaponized rabies? Do you know what the only thing that would make people actually act like zombies and run around biting people would be weaponized rabies? Have you ever seen somebody dying of rabies? I have seen a university film clip of it. And let me tell you, it isn't pretty. It's a lot scarier than these zombies in these movies. Someone chained down, strapped down to a gurney, with sweat pouring off of them, biting so hard their teeth break off, with their eyes bugging out. It makes The Shining video, whenever the actor comes through the door with the hatchet, it makes Jack Nicholson look like an angelic creature, what rabies makes people behave like. And they've been messing with that on record for 50-something years. Plum Island, weaponized tick-borne syphilis is now called, on record, Lyme's disease. And it spread all over the country from the East Coast, from New York. And it was a U.S. facility run by Nazis, declassified. And then the deer 1 mile from New York swam across from Plum Island. Deer will do that when they're starving. And introduced weaponized ticks to the United States. It's syphilis, ladies and gentlemen. Weaponized tick-borne syphilis that the Nazis had looked at in World War II trying to develop to drop on the Russians. Let's go back to that other article. The guys are doing searches right now on the TV end, showing viewers what we're talking about. Yeah, let's not forget, they dug up dead whalers from the North Pole back in 2005 to get the weaponized super flu and try to weaponize it even more. Special report, the 1918 flu virus is resurrected. The Journal of Nature. All right, I said I'd go to your phone calls. It's governments that are endangering us. It's governments that helped create ISIS and turned them loose. Hundreds of years ago, it was reported that rabies was used as a biological weapon in the Middle Ages. There's nothing new under the sun. And you tie all this together, it's crazy. State Department orders 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. They tell hospitals nationwide, prepare for Ebola. Are you in a hospital that's gotten these notices? Give us a call. I mean, it's confirmed. We're not asking you to confirm it. Give us your take on it. 800-259-9231. We got Sean, Tim, Chris, Christopher, Dr. Davis, and others. And we're going to go to Sean and others, but first, Dr. Davis in Florida wants to give us his take on this. Go ahead, Dr. Davis.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing okay, I guess. I don't know why they're bringing Ebola patients back to the U.S. They're supposed to keep them on medical Navy ships, but I guess they don't do that anymore. What do you think about this?
Well, I think it's ridiculous to bring these patients back. It introduces risks that are just not reasonable. And like you said, you can put a level 3 containment facility on just about any Navy ship and keep those people away from the rest of the population. It only makes common sense.
Why do you think they're bringing so many Ebola patients back to South Dakota and Georgia and other states?
I can't even speculate because it makes absolutely no sense. Like I said, it creates risk where you don't have to have risk. It just doesn't make any sense.
What's your overall view of the Ebola epidemic?
Well, I think that from my perspective, running a biotech company that has a potential solution for this in a drug that we've developed and worked with the Army on it, all of the emphasis right now appears to be on vaccines. And I think that that's a mistaken solution because if you have hypermutation like you have in this particular viral strain, it's impossible to anticipate how it might mutate, which is the key to developing a successful vaccine. You have to look forward at where it's going to go, and you can't predict where this is going to go. So I don't believe that the vaccines that Glaxo or any of the other companies are trying to work on, even though I believe in those from a scientific standpoint, I simply don't believe that you can predict where this will go.
Wow.
In order to make enough vaccines that will make it a reasonable protection for the population.
Sure. Well, you've been a guest on the show before. I'm glad you got in today. You ought to write an article for us about that and send it over. We'd like to get your perspective on why an Ebola vaccine won't work at this point. Thank you so much for the call. Sean in Nevada is a doctor, works in an emergency room. Sean, thanks for calling in. Give us your take on the situation.
Hey, thanks for having me, Alex. My take is that we may be dealing with something more than just spread by, bodily fluids. We get a CDC announcement today that you need to have a respirator. You need to have basically a level 3 biosuit to engage with these patients. That's becoming concerning to me that the CDC sends something out like that. Unfortunately, they can lag in their response to different infections. And then the state of Nevada, if you're a licensed physician, you get notifications through the sort of infectious disease gurus out of Vegas, and they are now sending out a warning sheet of what to look for in patients who may have Ebola. And as far as I know, there are, quote-unquote, no reported cases of Ebola in the United States.
But now, because it takes weeks for it to show up before you know somebody's sick, I guess that's why they're doing this.
Well, my concern is that do we have a bunch of little time bombs walking around the streets of America that are going to suddenly explode and we're going to suddenly start having cases? And it certainly doesn't help, like Dr. Davis suggested, bringing in infected people, because none of us really trained for dealing with this level of infectious disease. It's not commonplace for us to down up and deal with patients of this caliber in our emergency rooms here in America. And so it's really concerning that it's probably going to walk into one of our emergency rooms one day, and you're going to have staff that are going to be fearful to care for these patients. You're going to have staff that could become infected, and then ultimately other patients who are already jeopardized medically in the hospital becoming contaminated, and it's going to be a nightmare.
Well, I tell you, what do you make of the Typhoid Mary scenario, that some of these people may be basically immune from it but may still be long-term carriers, not just for 2 or 3 weeks but for longer? This could just keep going on and on. If it gets out of Africa, which Ebola's never done because they would never allow people out of Africa that had it, it seems like intentional that they're trying to have a cover story for why Ebola gets into the West.
I think you're absolutely right, Alex. It's that kind of scenario that is very concerning. And unfortunately, people may be, sharing space with these folks already. And unfortunately, with the international travel as it is now and really kind of unregulated when screening for diseases like this, my thoughts are it's already here. And if we do have somebody who's resistant to the virus, then those people are going to be able to go farther and longer without detection. And you're absolutely right about that scenario.
Wow. A lot of medical doctors and virologists are saying that it's much worse than what the CDC or World Health Organization is saying. This top German virologist told Bild Friday that he believes 5 million people from the computer models they have will, and this is one of the top virology facilities in the world, 5 million will die. I don't know. I'm not a virologist. What does that sound like to you?
It sounds conceivable. It's happened before in our history. So, if something like the Spanish flu can wipe out gross swaths of population, then absolutely this can. And we're really not prepared for it. I think, unfortunately, a lot of Americans have their heads buried and think they're immune or protected or it's not going to be me. And that kind of mentality doesn't allow for the vigilance necessary to pick this stuff up early and to deal with it appropriately. And there's going to be people who come into the ER and they're just going to be sent home either with antibiotics or, some treatment for the flu. And the next thing you know, they're going to go home to their family, contaminate them, and the cycle will continue. But absolutely, if this is truly something that now is possibly airborne, you're talking to millions that could be lost. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you so much for the call, doctor. It's a doctor in Las Vegas calling in. We have some footage that came out about a week ago. We're going to repost it to Infowars.com because it's so powerful, of a video in a market, an open market in Liberia. Again, if you're a radio listener, go to Infowars.com. We just posted it minutes ago. We're going to tweet it out at Real Alex Jones. And it shows a man who they believe has Ebola trying to get food in a market, basically wandering around with a club in his hand. And people chasing him, police chasing him, and then the hazmat crew showing up and rounding him up to take him basically to a medical camp where people are just, in many cases, strapped down to die now because the medical workers have gotten ill or died themselves. This is really the breakdown of society. We're going to roll some of this in the background for TV viewers to see. But again, you'll want to go to InfoWars.com to look at it for yourself. This is just extremely terrifying footage. When you realize that in the human experience, there have been black plagues and Spanish flus and you name it, in some cases kill a third of the population. And it's the civil unrest that something like this would create. And I keep saying this is the season of crises the last year, that it's just going to get crazier and crazier. We have an open border while this is happening, and the politically correct out there say we're not allowed to talk about it. And we have airports just wide open. Meanwhile, the IRS and the FBI are busy going after the Tea Party and harassing people. We're going to go to break and come back with more of your phone calls. Chris, Eric, Matt, Tim, and others. We've got more doctors, people becoming doctors, medical experts, you name it, all calling in. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. Back in 1990, reported on an airborne outbreak of Ebola. PBS nationwide aired this. We have documents and mainstream news articles from 2 years ago that they believe Ebola is becoming airborne. There have been different strains that have been before, and that it's basically been covered up. Now, again, the mainstream media's response was, we're lying, it's not true, we're conspiracy theorists. Well, here it is from Nova, PBS 1990, a year after the outbreak, reporting on the secret operation. And again, they will probably have all the usual suspects come out and say, none of this is real, none of this is happening. But, of course, it is. Here it is.
In 1989, Ebola made its way to the U.S., residents of this Washington, D.C. suburb had no idea that one of the world's deadliest viruses had emerged in their midst. In a primate quarantine unit in Reston, Virginia, monkeys in one of the holding rooms suddenly began to die. Secretly, a military team entered the quarantine unit and killed all 60 monkeys in the infected room. Crisis heightened as monkeys began to die in a different room. It appeared that the virus was moving through the ventilating system. In response, the military killed all 400 monkeys, ending the outbreak. This new strain of Ebola had shown the potential to spread through the air. Had it been lethal in humans, it could have been catastrophic.
Okay. So that's one that they don't believe humans get. Now they're saying the type that humans can get 2 years ago in an African lab was spreading in the air. I'm going to say that again. Now that's in the precious New York Times. Something's different this time with this Ebola. And I've interviewed the medical experts, the doctors. I've done my research. I'm no virologist. I know something's going on here. And now they've got vaccines and Bill and Melinda Gates are involved. Monsanto's involved. It stinks to high heaven. And we got Chris, who's a former EMT. We've got Eric's becoming a doctor, wants to give us his take on it. And we've got a lot of citizens like Wyatt and Eric and Tim and others calling in. We're going to get to all of you briefly before we go to break, ladies and gentlemen. We are listener supported. We try to sell the very best products out there. Now is the time to have the X2 nascent iodine that has just been so incredible for my body and my immune system and my health. Now is the time to flush your gut out. That's 80% of your immune system with the Oxy powder we have discounted that CJ was telling me he took some of this weekend and had a pretty big effect. This is the real deal for flushing you out. Nobody else has got it. It's proprietary by Dr. Group, Oxy powder, InfoWarsLife.com. We've got the silver bullet, a powerful colloidal silver. We've got the super male vitality, super female vitality. We've got the fluoride shield that chelates not just fluoride out, but so many other toxins and heavy metals. And you're not just getting the cutting edge, high-powered, organic vitamins and minerals at InfoWarsLife.com. You're fighting the very tip of a spear of an organization, InfoWars, that will tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139. When you call, we can answer all your questions, tell you about a bunch of specials we're running, the best water filtration systems, 10% off with promo code WATER on the website. And when you call, 888-253-3139. Second hour, straight ahead, and I will commit heresy. 2 + 2 = 4.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're taking your phone calls. No guests today, just the callers and the incredibly important news. If you just joined us, the Dutch and others are just basically evacuating their doctors out of Africa. Dutch doctors to evacuate on Sunday. That was yesterday. U.S. State Department orders 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. That's up on InfoWars.com. CDC issues Ebola checklist. Now is the time to prepare. We had medical doctors calling in earlier saying they're getting similar reports. That's all confirmed. It's up on DrudgeReport.com. We're taking your phone calls right now. Is this man-made? Is this manufactured? Has this gotten out of one of the research labs in Africa? Has it gone airborne? Well, we know it's spreading a lot faster and dwarfs any previous outbreak. And we know it's part of this season of craziness. And I predict more craziness now, more unprecedented events. You can feel it. It's in the air. Pun intended. Let's go to Chris in Nevada, former EMT. Then we'll go to Eric. Chris, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Alex, for allowing me on the InfoWars Truth News Central Command Station and calling from FEMA Zone 9 near Las Vegas, Nevada.
Welcome.
This is absolutely a diabolic deception with a specially engineered to be tactically deployed as a bioterror weapon of mass destruction. This full-spectrum spread or rollout, that's the way this administration rolls, to disseminate for a maximum kill rate and depopulation. There was a book several years ago by Dr. Judith Mary Baker called Dr. Mary's Monkey.
Yes.
That talked about the Centers for Disease Creation and Control's secret weaponized disease.
Oh, we sell the book, and she worked in the bioweapon lab, and there was absolutely weaponized cancer, all of it.
Well, recently there was a movie on TV that was very suggestive and on point. I think it was called The Immigrant, showing Sharon Stone. And the line that I recall specifically from that movie is, "The best mule is a mule that doesn't know it's a mule."
Ah.
This is absolutely demonic is what's going on, Alex. You know this.
Well, you notice they've got Al-Qaeda running all over the world. They've got open borders, the dollar. They're starting wars with Russia. Every number we see just shows they're just turning all the global meltdowns, all the global crises loose. And I've been saying, what's the next shoe to drop? I said this months ago. Is it a bioweapon? Is it a new war? Well, I mean, what do you think the next shoe to drop is? A huge terrorist event in the U.S.?
I think it's likely all of the above. This group has never done one thing with one purpose. It's always multifaceted, and every scam they put forth on the American public as the domestic terrorist revolutionary occupation force that are sitting within the government. They always have multiple different aspects to their plans and likely will employ multiple different asymmetric styled attacks around the nation in different locations to get the maximal effect of invoking fear into the public.
Well, I totally agree with you. Wow, look at that headline. Ebola, AIDS manufactured by Western pharmaceutical companies, USDOD. Scientists allege. Wow, what is that out of? The Observer? Daily Observer, yeah. Yeah, that's a Liberian publication. Wow, print that off. That's interesting. Thank you so much, Chris. We're going to come back to Eric. Then we're going to go to Tim. And then another Eric. And then Wyatt. Stay with us.
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
We think, just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others. They will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
Is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
And we are well into hour number two today. The reason I wanted to air that V for Vendetta intro is that in the film, government uses a bioweapon that they release in London as the pretext to bring in martial law as the smokescreen for a totalitarian state. And then also the people in the government coup own the stock in the drug that can save you from the viral release. Now, the reason the Wachowski brother and sister put that out is because they're aware of problem, reaction, solution. And so many of the big biological events we've seen in the last 100 years got tracked back to government labs. Oh, the Gates Foundation has pledged $50 million to fight Ebola. How sweet of them when they're eugenicists who want population reduction. And the word from the eugenicist is airborne Ebola will be what is used to reduce population and bring in world government. In fact, guys, I want to get for the nightly news tonight, or if not for the show tomorrow, I want to get clips from 100 Monkeys or 12 Monkeys. And I want to get clips from V for Vendetta that I can just play so we can illustrate this for people. But more importantly, I want to get the video clip on Dr. Eric Pianka, the section on airborne Ebola from my 2007 film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, where we lay all this out. Because there is a globalist obsession with Ebola, and now we're seeing it pop up. In fact, we have a Nova clip. Then I'm going to your phone calls that I aired at the end of the last hour. I know some stations only carry the second and third hour. So I want to air this piece narrated by Stacy Keach, breaking down an airborne Ebola release in the United States, and similar things have happened in Africa at a monkey research facility. Now, it's come out that they're not just, quote, trying to find cures or treatments in these facilities. They're also looking to weaponize it, and that's how they get around the biological weapons treaties. How long until this stuff gets out? The foot-and-mouth outbreak of 2000 in England, we said was probably weaponized, probably a government person. How do we know it popped up in 20-plus locations in one day? Simultaneous, same level of infection, killed a higher number of the cows and sheep than naturally occurring foot and mouth did. I went and looked at the numbers. It came out a year later, the government whitewashed, that it was animal rights activists working in the Ministry of Defense bioweapons area that wanted to end the domestication of animals who simultaneously released it in 20-plus places across England and Scotland. Bull! Bull! It was a deliberate attack on the farming communities and was a bio attack. And we analyzed the attack pattern. We accurately, on air and at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com, pioneered the articles understanding that it was government and it was confirmed. So all I'm saying is I've dealt with this for a long time. Do you know that they did secret tests that were partially declassified, putting pathogens in hepatitis shots in free clinics for gay men in New York City in the late 70s, right before AIDS popped up? You know about Tuskegee and black people, all the rest of it? There are thousands, look it up, of radiating troops, nerve gassing them, shooting troops up with stuff that kills them. So the number one suspect any time this stuff's going on is the criminal eugenicists that run our government. 36,000 top Nazis. Just like they say in the movie The Right Stuff, they've got great Germans working on the rocket program. Our Germans are better than their Germans. The reason our Germans were better than their Germans is most of those Germans had been trained in the West to begin with, in England, and they were only coming home. That's why we got 5-1 the Nazis, because they didn't want to go with the Russians. And I'm not blaming this on Nazis either. It shows the mindset of our elite. They took 36,000 top Nazis, engineers, rocket scientists, Gestapo, Klaus Barbie, you name it, to run everything. It's got to be half the new university research facilities from 1946 on are named after Nazis. The Goddard Space Center, the Wernher von Braun Rocket Propulsion Lab, you know, on and 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 on. We got the Plum Island syphilis, weaponized Lyme's disease, just change the name, like you change Al-Qaeda to ISIS, from the Plum Island facility. Who ran the Plum Island facility from 1946 until 1972? Look it up. Just search Nazi scientist ran Plum Island. You'll get his name, the whole thing. It's public. It's declassified. So when I get up here and I say, I think this Ebola is weaponized, I think this Ebola is starting to go airborne, now you see it in the New York Times. Because anybody who actually researches can see something is wrong here. And we're told, calm down, let it spread, don't let people get ready for it. That's why they slapped me down 5 weeks ago. Shut up, InfoWars. Shut up, Drudge. Don't warn people. Don't say this could be dangerous. Don't say you should get ready. There it is, New York Post, behind the secret plan to bring Nazi scientists to the U.S. Yeah, I mean, that's part of that, but Operation Paperclip and others in the rat line. Pull up Nazi scientist ran Plum Island. It'll be like Associated Press. It was declassified in the 90s. Okay, I said I'd go to your phone calls. All I know is this is a lot worse than they said it was, and they're bringing people here that have Ebola so they can have plausible deniability when it gets out. And only public pressure pointing out that the globalists could be behind this, or certainly are to blame if it gets out now, may make them stop it. But if they think they'll get away with it, just like they're doing arming ISIS right now to fight ISIS, they'll do it. They found a headline there. I'll give it to you. Did Lyme's disease originate out of Plum Island? Well, they can debate that, even though it's not up for debate, that it's weaponized. The point is that a Nazi scientist ran it. You can look it up. There have been mainstream television programs on the subject. And now the Daily Observer by Dr. Cyril Broderick, who I want to get on the show, guys. Ebola, AIDS manufactured by Western Pharmaceuticals, USDOD. Dear world citizens, I have read a number of articles from your internet outreach, as well as articles from other sources about the casualties in Liberia and other West African countries, and about the human devastation caused by Ebola virus. About a week ago, I read an article published in summary of the Friends of Liberia that said there was an agreement that the initiation of the Ebola outbreak in West Africa was due to the contact of a two-year-old child with bats that had flown in from the Congo. That report made me disconcerted with the reporting about Ebola and its simulation, a response to the Friends of Liberia saying that African people are not ignorant and gullible, as is being implicated. And then it just goes on to break it down. Number one, Ebola is genetically modified organism, GMO. And he breaks down some of the studies on that front. Number two, Ebola has a terrible history and testing has been secretly taking place in Africa. That's been declassified. Number three, sites around Africa and in the West Africa have over the years been set up for testing emerging diseases, especially Ebola. And then he links to all the bibliographed admissions of it, which I'm aware of. So it's a very good article. Professor Broderick is a former professor of plant biology at the University of Liberia's College of Agriculture and Forestry. He's also a former observer farmer in the 1980s. It was from this column in our newspaper, The Daily Observer, that Firestone spotted him and offered him the position of director of research in the 1980s. In addition, he is a scientist who was taught for many years in Agriculture College of the University of Delaware. So let's look into him and get him on. Because I don't know who he is, but I know I've seen mainstream news articles and documents and admissions on everything that was said right there. When we come back, I'm going to play the clip of 1990 Nova talking about airborne Ebola in a secret lab in the United States and what happened there. Because that's my point. Even if they're not releasing this on purpose, they can't contain it. Government can't do anything right. What are they doing with all these facilities? What are they doing bringing Ebola patients in to university medical hospitals? Well, we have the wing blocked off for the Ebola patients. I don't care. Keep them on ships. That was always the policy before. What is going on here? Wyatt here in just a moment. Alex Jones here back live, but a lot of new listeners have joined us. Just so you know, there's a lot of weapons labs playing with Ebola all over the world, especially Africa. Here's a clip from 1990 from Nova, narrated by Stacy Keach, breaking down what happened at a U.S. lab. And these things are all over the place.
In 1989, Ebola made its way to the U.S. Residents of this Washington, D.C. suburb had no idea that one of the world's deadliest viruses had emerged in their midst. In a primate quarantine unit in Reston, Virginia, monkeys in one of the holding rooms suddenly began to die. Secretly, a military team entered the quarantine unit and killed all 60 monkeys in the infected room. Crisis heightened as monkeys began to die in a different room. It appeared that the virus was moving through the ventilating system. In response, the military killed all 400 monkeys, ending the outbreak. This new strain of Ebola had shown the potential to spread through the air. Had it been lethal in humans, it could have been catastrophic.
And now the New York Times last Friday reporting what we told you over a month ago is saying that there is a lot of medical evidence that it's becoming airborne. What we are all afraid to say about Ebola was the headline. Regardless, it's found legs, it's spreading rapidly. Top scientists are saying it'll kill 5 million. Meanwhile, our government's saying 100,000 might get it, 50,000, 80,000 might die. We're not being told the truth here. Now, this is a short segment. I want to get through all your calls, 800-259-9231. I'm going to go to each caller quickly now. Wyatt in South Dakota, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Wyatt says that he wanted to comment on Ebola patients in Maryland and drills there. Okay, let's go to Eric in Minnesota. Go ahead. You say you're becoming a doctor. What's your take on all this? Yeah, I may be having a problem with the phone systems at GCN or something. I've got a second call I can't get audio on. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Alex? Just a few quick points I wanted to make about what we've been being told and what's supposedly going on. No, supposedly. The incubation period is 2 to 22 days currently, so someone could actually have it for 22 days before they even develop any symptoms. They're saying it's mutated over 250 times so far in the last 3 months. And I kind of wanted to go with the immunity discussion on this as well. Stem cells are what we call hemocytoblasts. They develop in the bone marrow, and B cells go to the thymus where they mature. And this develops our antibodies. And what they're saying right now is you can use the blood of people who have recovered to treat people, and it's partially true. You can use the blood and their antibodies will work. But the thing they're not telling anyone is that it won't make anyone immune. You would have to continue taking the blood.
Interesting. So as soon as those antibodies run out, the virus continues to regenerate.
Correct. I mean, you could become cured of it, but you wouldn't become immune if you were exposed to it again.
What are the theories around the medical people about why it's so much worse this time and how bad it really is?
I haven't heard too many theories about that yet. It is strange how it started this time, where the vector was actually in a large city instead of a small rural farming type population in the country. So it's kind of spreading backwards, which makes you think something else might be going on here.
What do you think about this top German virologist that heads up one of the most respected virology facilities in the world Friday coming out and saying it's really going to be 5 million that are going to die?
Well, if you came into the United States, I mean, people here really are not educated on things like this. For instance, the safety precautions, there's usually four that we use. We use standard precaution, airborne precaution, droplet precaution, and contact precaution. Right now, they're telling us it's in the droplet precaution stage, where it can spread 3 to 5 feet in saliva, mucous membranes, etc. But who knows if that could spread further. But, I mean, even the nurses and doctors in a lot of hospitals don't use proper precautions when they're dealing with patients.
Imagine Ebola getting into these hospitals with these super viruses in them. Who knows what could happen with that? And, of course, Africans have been around these type of viruses for a long time. They've got some herd immunity, I guess they would call it. I'm not a doctor, but just imagine if it gets into the West. It'll be like smallpox to the Indians. Incredible. Thank you so much, sir. More calls coming up.
We're on the march. The Empire is on the run.
Eric next.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Sean, Barbara, Jay, and others.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
This is bigger than just Ebola. You've got Al-Qaeda being turned loose worldwide. You've got Google and George Soros and others on record starting the Arab Spring. You've got Al Gore saying he wants a Arab Spring here in America, but with the left. You've got the CDC saying prepare for Ebola to hit the United States in official announcements to hospitals. You've got our article that's on DrudgeReport.com on the right-hand side. dealing with the fact that they are, again, getting this 160,000 hazmat suits for Ebola. Regardless of what's behind this, it is a major, major epidemic in Africa. I guess you'd call it pandemic. And you've heard the medical doctors calling in. I've been reading what medical doctors say, what virologists say. And the more prestigious they get, the more dire their statements. I mean, this was in Build last Friday. Virologist, it's too late. Ebola will kill 5 million. Experts says virus will infect the entire population of African countries. A top German virologist has caused shockwaves by asserting that it's too late to halt the spread of Ebola in Sierra Leone and Liberia, and that 5 million people will die, noting that efforts should now be focused on stopping the transmission of the virus to other countries. And I agree with that statement. What are we doing bringing people with Ebola into these countries? What are major passenger aircraft doing flying into Western Africa? Remember how when H1N1 was out, it was a super weak flu and came out, was a, quote, simulant from the year before to track viral spread, a, quote, weakened virus? It was just all the fear-mongering. I was in a restaurant this morning having a couple eggs at a diner before I came to work at about 9:30, and there were these two older couples sitting right next to me, and they saw some lady who had a stroke coming by. They knew, so they talked to her, and they said, get your flu shot. And then I sat there and listened to these 65, 70-year-old people talk about all their health problems, but how they were going to get their flu shots as soon as they were available, how they got them every year. And there I was, knowing the studies, mainline, that three flu shots doubles your chances of Alzheimer's. And I can just see the Alzheimer graphs in my head going straight up. And how it causes neurological disorders, and how it causes problems with blood flow, and causes autoimmune responses in the ventricles of the heart, because I know this stuff, and all of a sudden they start listing all their illnesses. Yeah, I've got this problem with my ventricles, I'm got a neurological disorder now, and they're all with their iPhones. They all had iPhones, not droids, and were all for 30 minutes ruining my breakfast, shitting right next to me at the diner. It's Dan's Hamburgers. They had breakfast there. And it's an old-fashioned diner. And so it's diner chairs where you're like right up next to their booth. And I'm in a single person booth right next to them, listening to them. And their hands were shaking. And they were all soft killed. They were all just wrecks of the medical system. And all they were doing was talking about their doctors. And I know they've never guessed the right flu shot for the next year. They admit that. The right mutation. I know it doubles your chances of Alzheimer's. I know the Canadian study 5 years ago found that taking the H1N1 vaccine, the swine flu vaccine, doubled your chances of getting flu the next year, lowering your immune system by 50%. On and on and on. I know it says on the insert, Guillain-Barré, narcolepsy, neurological disorders, epilepsy, cancer, miscarriage. I know what it says. And here comes their friend hobbling by, looked like she was about 65, on a walker, has had a stroke, and they're in there eating breakfast, and I'm just sitting there wanting to warn them, and I just looked over at them, and I knew they weren't going to listen to a word I told them. And it's not like I'm some health nut. I didn't believe, and I'm going to go to your calls, that they'd ever even let me live this long. Back when I was getting death threatened and physically attacked and everything else you could imagine 15, 16 years ago. So I just stopped jogging every other day, stopped lifting weights almost every day, just started working like 18 hours a day, wrecking my body, gaining almost 100 pounds, from 185 pounds to, 275 pounds. I have lost 50 now, but I got another 20 or 30 to go. And Tommy Pallotta, who just emailed me the other day, or called me, he texted me and called me. I need to give him a call. I always listen. A Hollywood producer I know. We were out bike riding, and he said, man, you should be in really good shape. He goes, you're a wreck. He said, they're already killing you by you believing you don't have a life. You're going to kill yourself It's not enough to go on a bike ride once a week for 5 miles. You need to start jogging. You need to stop smoking, because I was smoking some then, hanging around, you know, radio guys. Most of them smoke. I just taken all these horrible habits. And so that was about 6 years ago. And it's taken me 6 years after I wrecked myself to get to the point I am now. And now that I had 3 family members die. And look, the best pitch is something that's true. I really believe what I'm saying right now, and I know it to be true. When I saw 3 of my family members who were in pretty good shape, especially my uncle, I mean, he was in like a barrel chest and big arms and played football at LSU and, you know, ate healthy and everything, but it killed his son. He was taken care of, and then it killed him. Of course, killed my great uncle before that, but he was in bad shape. But they were all taking care of each other. That's the chain reaction, best we can tell, from a hospital-borne illness that ended up getting into my family. So what did I begin to do? I went, whoa, I better go to the next level. I'm taking colloidal silver all the time now. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you what I'm doing. I am taking super levels of vitamin C. I'm flushing my guts out with oxy powder and other things. I'm taking the iodine religiously. I have never religiously taken these supplements because I've never did it my whole life. But now the last few years, I get better and better about it. You know, a few times a week, I'll take the supplements. No, now I'm taking them 7 days a week. Every time I'm supposed to take them, I'm taking the OcuPower. I'm taking the oxy powder. I'm taking the X2 nascent iodine. And despite the fact that I still don't eat the best food and I still work late, and, you know, still take care of 3 kids and all the rest of it, it has been revolutionary what it's done for my family and myself. So I challenge you, support the broadcast, get the Survival Shield, get the Survival Shield X2, which is a lot stronger. I recommend, but check with your physician, the regular Survival Shield for kids. Because when I talk to Dr. Group, but also medical doctors and others, they say, oh, you got to have the good halogen iodine. You got to have vitamin C. You got to have pure water. You got to have clean guts. You got to be in a good mood. You got to have a positive outlook. Being positive and believing there's a good future coming. Because despite all this bad stuff happening, we don't need to get stressed out by the Ebola. We need to get prepared. So I've been researching, how do you survive a pandemic? Whether it's Ebola, which I don't think is going to come over here and get really bad, I pray. But I feel so bad for Africa and other areas. Let's just hope, but it could get worse. I'm telling you, I'm starting to get scared for my family. But everybody I know is losing people from hospital-borne illnesses, or you go in to get your larynx worked on and you're dead. Joan Rivers. Most people I know that die don't die in car wrecks or cancer or heart attacks. They die going to the hospital to have their bunion worked on or to have their slip disc worked on or to have, I mean, I just, almost everybody I know that's died has died in the hospital going to have a routine procedure done. There's a lot of deadly bacteria and stuff out there now. And so all I'm saying is we got to be positive. We got to love each other. We got to be upbeat. But also be prepared. That's what your brain wants you to do. Because if you're upbeat and positive but face the problems, your brain goes, hey, I'm looking for things. I'm on top of things. I'm positive. It boosts your immune system. They've got the studies. They know how to deal with it. Clean water. Get all the trace elements and minerals you need. Clean out your guts. Don't eat GMO. And you do that, and you will have a jump. And it doesn't mean you're perfect. You don't sometimes eat the wrong thing. It just means you start cutting it out. I look at how much I've changed my lifestyle. From where I used to eat hamburgers at least once a day for 10 years. Now I eat a hamburger maybe once a week. I look at how I used to eat chicken fried steaks every week. Now I eat them once a year, literally. You know, if grandma makes it. We've just all got to incrementally change our lifestyle and get geared up, because you can see the numbers of what's happening. So InfoWarsLife.com, I think, is a great place to start. It's where I start. The Oxy Powder, the X2, the Supermel Vitality that gets your glands going. InfoWarsLife.com. And then you can also rest assured your purchase is going towards funding this operation to get more great reporters, to be able to send more crew out to break the big stories and defend the Republic. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. All right, I'm going to go quick now to Eric and to Barbara and Sean and Bob and Jay and others. Eric, thanks for calling in. What is your take on Ebola, ISIS, you name it? Yeah, I'm sorry. Your phone's breaking up, bro. I'm going to come back to you in a moment when you get closer to your wherever it works. Sean in New Mexico, go ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so here's a thought about how Ebola is being transmitted.
Thank you.
Nobody's really covered.
Yes,
and,
sir.
That would be by mosquitoes, fleas, and flies. You know, it's like there's another way it could be transmitted.
Ooh, I hadn't even thought of that, because they keep saying it's from monkeys or from bats that fly over and some of their spit or whatever gets in your eye or your nose or your mouth. But yeah, I mean, if a flea bites somebody that has it and then bites you, they're carrying it inside the blood. That would be transmittable. Guys, look into that. Is Ebola transmittable by insect?
Yeah. Or even flies, if they land on a carcass and then land on your food or, you know, something like that.
Well, what does your gut tell you about all this?
I don't know. It just hit me this morning when I woke up this morning.
Well, some virologists that are highly respected say 5 million are going to die. Others say a couple hundred thousand. Some say as little as 50,000. Do you think this is hype or do you think this is serious?
No, I think it's serious, but I don't think it's going to be as bad here if it hits the States. I think it's going to be, you know, like it is here. I mean, like it is in Africa, it's going to be far worse.
Sure. Well, the WebMDs and others do say that among the suspected transmitters of it, Encyclopedia Britannica says is Ebola can be transmitted by bats, primates, rodents, insects that inhabit tropical forests in Africa and Asia. So there you go. I just hope that it doesn't get to Texas or someplace that's hot and balmy like Austin is right now. Austin's like a rainforest right now. It's been raining. One day it's 100, the next day it's 60. So we'll see what happens. I appreciate your call. But it's a time bomb. It's the flesh-eating bacteria and the MRSA and the drug-resistant this and the drug-resistant that. Every month or so, somebody I know goes in for a minor surgery and gets a hospital-transmitted illness and gets their leg chopped off or their arm chopped off. But most of the time, they just die. But because it's the medical system that's so infected and in such a crisis, they just cover it up. And so it's not a big news issue. And that's another big point. If it starts spreading, will we even get told if they start finding Ebola? Because, you know, the hospitals have to report to the CDC, and I guarantee you the CDC isn't going to want to panic or say, don't tell anybody, and a truck's going to show up. Where are those people going to be taken? We know the procedure under the executive orders is to just disappear people. There's a CNN whitewash. 1 in 25 patients get infection in hospital. That's a lot worse than that. And that's why my dad says, go to a private clinic, a newer private clinic that doesn't have sick people in it, that has elective patient care. But even Joan Rivers was in an elective facility. She didn't die of a airborne illness. She died when they were doing the surgery, they think, from touching on her larynx and it closing up on her and her suffocating. Jay in Illinois, thanks for calling. You're on the air. You're a hazmat tech, you say. What do you think about all this?
Well, you know, like you said, talking about nutrition is one of the main things I think, you know, we need to be concerned with. And then also respiratory protection. I mean, if this is indeed going to spread through the air, then, you know, the normal person needs to be able to protect against that. And there's some things you can do for that.
Well, if you're an expert in that, I mean, how good is just a paper mask?
Not good at all. You know,
you need something that covers up your whole face, don't you, to cover your eyes up?
Yes. Well, you need some form of eye protection, but then also, you know, for my family and I went out and secured the highest level of protection that you can just buy, you know, over the counter. The P100s are the highest level of protection you can buy over the counter. That's a filtered air, you know, type of mask. The CDC sent out a email a couple weeks ago, you know, to the first responders saying that they recommended at least an N95. An N95 is just your basic, you know, dust mask and would not protect against something that's airborne. You want to research that out. There's various levels that you can purchase. N, R, or P. P is the highest level of protection, and does protect you against viruses.
How often do you have to change the filter, though?
The P is the highest level. N is just, you know, hours of protection. R is like an eight-hour protection. This is all NIOSH recommended. The P is your highest level of protection you can get, and I believe it's rated up to at least 40 hours of like an eight-hour, you know, eight-hour day, 5 days a week. Obviously, you know, if you're...
Sure. Well, what I've gone... I mean, I've actually got, now that you say the name of it, I bought years ago P100s with the whole plastic face mask and the whole nine yards. Plus, you want that when you're out operating, you know, trying to get out of town or whatever. You want to be able to put that on your kids, put that on your wife, so that you know. Because, look, let's face it, there's no telling what the globalists could pull down the road. They could have drones flying around spraying this stuff. I mean, I hate to talk like that, but you can see the gear up everywhere for collapse, the military training to mow down, quote, people that have zombie virus. Well, what looks and acts like a zombie? Well, airborne rabies that humans can get, or airborne Ebola, in my view. Do you agree with that or you disagree?
Yeah, I do agree, yes.
And I'm no virologist. I've just studied this stuff. Well, what do you make of the Army the last 6 years training so intensely to, quote, take on a zombie apocalypse?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I'm a fire officer as well. So, you know, we're preparing for worst case scenario. So, I mean, you know, if you're looking at the military training along those same lines, you know, they're going to be prepared for worst case scenario.
Well, it's caused total panic in six different countries, and two of them are about to collapse. We've got the video of what happens when Ebola patients are running around out in the open, and it just causes total turmoil. Thank you so much for the call, sir. Thanks for holding. We're going to go back and try to talk to Bob and Casey and Eric and Nathan, and I just really appreciate everybody who's been calling in. Stay with us.
Cross. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight.
Why is our southern border and basically our northern border wide open?
The rich get
while
rich.
People are trying to flee Africa. Who can carry Ebola and spread it for up to 22 days before illness even shows up. Even if you don't think the threat is real, which it obviously is, then I want my freedom back. I don't want to have my children grow up at the airport. I don't want to have to get the naked body scanner, take my shoes off, be bossed around because of radical Muslims they claim attacked us on 9/11 when our government is openly funding those very people now in the Middle East. What do you think about that as viewers? As listeners out there. Now, there's a bunch of news I haven't even gotten to yet. Extent of Arctic sea ice reaches record levels. That's ABC News of Australia. Dozens of Christians, including women and children, are arrested in Saudi Arabia after tip-off to state Islamist police force with their underground church. Scott's independence battle reaches fever pitch on streets. FBI launches national facial recognition system. Citibank, Deutsche Bank, Bank of America were channels for sending drug money to Colombia, court shows. Tell me something I don't know. We're going to be breaking that down. San Benito ISD forced to give children a bottle of water because the tap water is so toxic. Yeah, you know, California gives itself waivers on all its different propositions where you can't have any parts per billion, you know, of this and that in the water, except if it's tap water, then they give you all the poison they want. That's coming up as well. Before we go any further, though, let's jam in some more calls before this hour ends. Bob in Maine. Go ahead. You're on the air, Bob.
Yeah, I got two questions for you. I was reading an article on your website today about Syria, and I think I heard on your show a while back that it came out the Syrian government was actually looking at your website.
Yes.
I don't know if you'd be willing to comment at all, but have you ever been contacted by any governments about information, like to maybe consult with you guys or ask where you're getting your information from? Not in a bad way, but I mean in a good way.
I mean, I've had members of the German government on as guests, Japanese government, U.S. government. I've had members of parliament, members of Congress. I've had senators on, state senators, Rand Paul, federal senator. We've interviewed Ted Cruz. I was contacted before, to go on like foreign television stations that are state run. I've been on Russian state run. I've been on like a South American state run media as well. It came out in the London Telegraph that they hacked Assad's emails and that they were mentioning Infowars.com and our analysis of how Al-Qaeda was the main rebel force. And then, quotes by Colonel Schaefer. But everything Colonel Schaefer said here 2 years ago has now been pretty much confirmed. We just tend to say stuff before other people do and before it's confirmed. Like the fear that Ebola is beginning to become partially airborne or more resistant. Doesn't mean it's fully airborne. That's now in the New York Times. So it's just that people listen to us because a lot of the stuff's sensational. It's because reality is sensational. But no, I don't talk to... clearly years ago, if I was in New York City or whatever, they would have beautiful blondes that spoke Russian trying to get me to go off with them, and I would say no. I mean, that happened a few times, and it was pretty clear. And that's how the Russians do that. But other than that, no, I've never been contacted by foreign governments. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I had another question.
I'm going to come right back to you. Stay with me. Third hour coming up, ladies and gentlemen.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Bob was asking a very important question. Have I ever been contacted by foreign governments and asked where I got information? And the answer is not really, but I did once, since he said that, the official Iranian government, they do this with a bunch of journalists, invited to pay for me to go to Tehran and meet with Ahmadinejad. And of course I said no. I mean, can you imagine the propaganda value they would have showing that? A lot of people go because they think it's like a big shot thing. And no, it's the optics of stuff like that. They can act like you're disloyal or something. I'm completely loyal to the Republic and the ideas of it. I'm against the foreign banks that launder the drug money, that are involved in so much corruption, that run our government. That's the foreign occupying force that I'm trying to throw out. I'm allied with anybody who promotes liberty and freedom. But if you start getting key information from sources and then giving it to state-run media of another power or whatever, that's just serving another bad master. I don't serve the occupied government. I don't serve the Russians. I don't serve the Vatican. I don't serve Israel. I don't serve the blood-drinking lizards. I'm being sarcastic. None of it. I serve liberty and freedom and trying to be a good person and promoting that. But you can get into all sorts of stuff as a journalist, even communicating with or anything. In fact, a lot of times, I already know what's going on. A lot of times over the years, I've been sent stuff that I just stick in a shredder or throw away because I don't know if it's real or not. It can't be vetted. I mean, you get a secret document saying the veterans are the number one terror threat. We broke that, of course, 6 years ago. Well, I called the FBI phone number. And I said, yeah, hi, this is Alex Jones. They're like, Alex Jones? And I go, yeah, I got your document here, came out of this office. You want to comment? And they go, give me the document number. And they said, well, you're not supposed to have that. And I started to read more. And they said, who gave that to you? And I said, I'm not going to tell you that. I don't know who gave it to me. But okay, I can see the Southern Poverty Law Center wrote this. And I'm going to consider this to be an authentic document now. And I'm going to put it out, unless you deny it right now. But again, I have a right as a citizen to expose treason like that. And everybody else is just so knock-kneed afraid of the establishment that they just won't do anything, while the criminals just run wild. And the feds are federalizing police departments all over the country. Oh, a cop shot somebody, and it's questionable. Okay, we federalize your department. Or, Williamson County, cops are using steroids, we'll federalize it. You know, it's just any type of nitpicking. While the federal government's run by foreign banks that launder the money, just run the major crime operations. It's like the IRS will go after blue-collar people. That's on record, but won't go after billionaires. It's just so out of control. What was your other question?
You made a few references before about a satellite transmission, like some sort of video transmission that you've been working on, and you guys have some real hard-hitting news and might be a way of you guys spreading your message more. I'm just wondering.
Yes. I mean, I've wanted to put us on television in a satellite for like 15 years, but now the internet is already so big, we're on TiVo and Roku and Boxy and scores of other platforms we've signed up on, and we're always in the top 10 of political stuff or news on those. So it's almost like we waited so long, now we're on everybody's, quote, smart television already. But we're looking at some satellites, looking at some channels. That's getting very, very close, but it's almost like we waited so long, it just doesn't even matter. I mean, we have like 5-6 million views a week on our own channel on YouTube now. We have all these other channels, even more, and that's just YouTube. And then we've got over 170 terrestrial affiliates where we reach millions a day. And so, but yes, really the only way to go really have an effect on cable or satellite is to do 24 hours a day, like Glenn Beck's done. And I just don't have the time, the energy, the money to try something like that. That's why I'm glad Glenn Beck is out there and really want him to succeed. And others, because I don't like being the only one talking about this stuff. It's dangerous. More calls coming up. Stay with us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we're here live broadcasting worldwide, back weeknights, 7 o'clock Central. Infowars Nightly News. All right. I want to get into a whole plethora, cornucopia of other news today, but I want to commit to taking a lot of calls. So the callers have all been excellent. They've all asked excellent questions, but I want to just race through calls right now and get a good 15, 20 calls under our belt on Ebola, different angles you want to discuss. Then I want to get into all the other news in a big news blitz coming up at the bottom of the hour. When you hear somebody hang up, that's your chance to call in. I'd love to hear from you on this Monday edition, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We're going to go to Eric and then Nathan, Casey, Barbara, Kelly first. So be ready. I'm going to you. Eric in Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good, brother. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, everybody's dancing around the word conspiracy as far as Ebola goes, and you got to know if they're going to release something, they're not going to release it in the United States. They're releasing it in Africa, some standard Africa, where it even crops up. And because the strain seems to be so powerful, it kind of leads itself to that. Also, I was told that Obama's real job was to take over Africa, and I was like, what? And they go, the resources there. And if you look where Ebola is cropping up, it's right where a lot of the minerals, gold, and the three T's that go into electronics.
You're right. All of the trace elements, all of the rare earth minerals. Thank you for the call. That's a great point. Africa, you can look at different numbers of what they claim has been discovered of minerals or natural gas, oil, trace elements, things they need for computer chips. But Africa conservatively has as much resources as all the rest of the surface area of discovered resources. Africa. It's just loaded. Loaded with everything. Loaded. And it's true, there is a policy that's come out in the Carnegie Endowment, come out from the UN, you can look it up, the plan to divide and conquer, to keep Africa on its knees, to keep it from being industrialized. That's in the Royal Commission, 1949, put out by His Royal Highness, the King of England. The policy to artificially suppress not just Africa, but the whole world. But then we see the policy writ large in Agenda 21 or Cloward and Piven. We see it repeated over and over again. That's serfdom. Feudalism is where you keep people poor as a tool of control, living at a subsistence level. I remember the New York Times 2 years ago. I woke up one morning and saw Paul Watson's headline. And it was dealing with New York Times admits UN kills Africans for carbon tax. And then the New York Times article said, well, it is true, mercenaries working for the UN go in and kill everybody in the villages because they're forcing them off their ancestral land to have as an environmental set-aside so that they're allowed to mine next door. Kind of like the Bundy Ranch is the environmental concession set-aside. It's like in Austin. If you want to build, that's fine, you can build, but you've got to buy property somewhere else and set it aside that you won't build on it ever. It's an environmental easement. And I just read that with just calmly reporting. I have a London Guardian article from like 15 years ago where they just admitted, oh, the UN went in and killed 4,000 Burmese in Burma because the UN wanted the minerals the land was on for the UN. UN Development Fund or something. You just read this and it shows how cheap life is. And everywhere the CIA tries to put dictators in or oppressive regimes, they don't care if they're left wing or right wing. Carol Quigley wrote an 1,100 page book, Tragedy and Hope. He was a top insider, wrote the history of the New World Order for them, basically, wrote the history of the Anglo-American Empire, another book he wrote. And I've read both books. I read most of Tragedy and Hope. I haven't read the whole thing. It's 1,100 pages. I skipped the boring stuff, but I probably read 800 pages of it. Here's the thing. I said I'd go to phone calls. It's just overwhelming how public and open this conspiracy is. And so it lends itself that it's such a powerful strain of Ebola. It lends itself the timing. And it's in this season of crisis where the globalists have decided to pull out the stops on every front. So I'll ask the question again. Every major analyst, from the Secretary of Defense to the Ministry of Defense to you name it, is saying the whole world's starting to blow up. Obama, though, then plays the part of the good cop and goes, the world's never been safer. I brought stability. It's meant to confuse people. But undoubtedly, by every metric, cultural, financial, health-wise, the world is degenerating. No one can deny that. You've got some of the rich yuppies and people that are disconnected, have no idea what's going on. You've got some of the unwashed masses that are busy watching their football games all day. They are going to have a rude awakening how rough it is in the third world. If you have the dollar, that's the world currency right now, and all other currencies are basically pegged to it, any currency of any serious value or wide usage, and you have a devaluation of 20-30% of the dollar the last few years, conservatively, when half your income is spent on food or more, what happens when food prices go up 30%? You have a revolution because people are hungry. And so on the back of Africa and the Middle East and many areas of Asia and Eastern Europe not having enough food, Greece collapsing, basically. Greeks are having to dump their kids out on the street en masse. Record numbers of homeless, not drunk homeless, real homeless, right next door to resorts with rich, yuppie Americans laying around in the sun enjoying themselves while Greeks are there serving them drinks when their kids don't have food enough to eat at home. I think that causes resentment. And it's not that it's bad to want to go to Greece and lay out on the beach. That at least brings some tourism and helps the country. It's that it's obscene. Like, I'm getting to the point where I realize I need to go out and buy things and it helps the economy. And, love our economy or hate our economy. That's what we've got, is this consumer economy. I'm trying to develop a barter economy, a grassroots economy, but at the same time, it's not evil to own a nice house or have people that work for you. That's how the economy operates. But it becomes obscene at a certain point when the whole world's collapsing and we're still sitting around having no idea what's going to happen once it gets here, and we have such a self-centered, yuppie society, can you imagine when hard times really hit America what it's going to be like? The answer is it's going to be hellish. It's going to be barbarous. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. When this empire goes down, which is it's designed to do, and fold into the new global order, it is going to be spectacularly horrible. And that's why elites from Israel to the United States, from Germany to France, from England to Australia are buying armored redoubts in the middle of nowhere around other armored redoubts with private security forces already ready. Or they're moving to Switzerland or Luxembourg. And I said I'd go to your calls and I'm ranting. It's just that a caller points out the clear evidence that this Ebola thing stinks to high heaven. And then Obama, we break this down in the Obama deception. He was president-elect when we made it. It was released 1 month after he was in office. 2 months after. And we exposed that he will invade Africa, that they will turn loose radical Muslims in North Africa to invade the whole area, use that as a pretext to roll in, invade, and take over. And how they would then use bioweapons to depopulate. And then people see it happen. They're like, how do you know this? Because once you know, you understand the modus operandi. And it's not that Obama himself is doing it. It's that he's the front man, because you got to have a black face on it or the people resist it. The British Empire never went away 60 years ago. It learned to remove its flag, put in its corporate front people, and then the locals will put up with 3-4 times the abuse from a local guy that looks like them. Then they'll put up from some white queen on the money. You take the white queen off the money and you put a black guy on the money and the people put up whatever they want. Let's skip this network break, as I said, I go to your calls to gain that time back. Nathan in Kansas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir. Thanks for holding.
Hey, thank you. Hey, I wanted to rewind the clock a little bit, going back to early this year, to January sometime. Alert, FEMA seeks biodisposal for 1,000 hospital tents, and the tents, the gear, and also the disposal, the dumpsters, to get rid of it all. Do you remember that?
I do vaguely remember that, and your point's really well taken. Your audio's a little low. Talk right into your phone and repeat that headline again.
Okay, basically, I wanted to get back to a story that came out earlier this year, and it said, alert, FEMA seeks biodisposal for 1,000 tent hospitals within 24-hour notice.
I remember that.
I think that plays into the open borders and Ebola in some type of way.
Well, they're constantly buying billions of bullets and armored vehicles and building they've been buying huge incinerators, Homeland Security, for hundreds of millions and placing them all over the country. They've been digging in like the end of the world's coming. And the government's running around scared to death, acting like it's real. So I don't know what they've told them. I know what's in a lot of the open documentation. I mean, they have the Army training and the Marines to mow down whole cities, okay?
Well, in that, I think they call it an RFI, they were actually testing the responsiveness. You know, they were testing the ability to put up these tent cities or these hospital tents and the disposal. And one of the things with it was within 24 to 48-hour notice. And in the article, it states in 1,000 different locations throughout the United States. And, you know, they've already, what is it, the CDC or someone, I can't remember exactly, but they've set up all these little areas throughout the southern kind of United States spread out that kind of pretty much shadows where all the immigrants are going. Do you remember that? Or?
Yes, there it is. It's FEMA accelerates preparations for pandemic. January 2014, plans for mass graves confirmed, government surveying cemetery readiness for flu outbreak. That was on the Fed Biz website. What was the exact headline? Because we've been trying to find it, but I remember the article. It was about 6 months ago. Give me the exact headline again. There it is. No, that's an older article. Alert. From 2009. Go ahead.
Alert. FEMA seeks biodisposal for 1,000 tent hospitals within 24-hour notice.
That's it. Alert, alert. FEMA seeks
1,000 tent hospitals within 24-hour notice.
All right, we'll put that up on screen. Thank you so much for pointing that out. That's when I say I've got all this background that I'm concerned with. There's just so much intel, so much data. Even if the threat isn't real, they're gearing up, spending tens of billions on it like they never have before, hardening facilities, you name it, while trying to start a civil war between the Tea Party and the police, which they will prime the pump with false flags. That's clear. Because the Tea Party is about as pro-cop as you're going to get. I mean, it, to a fault, it's ridiculous how much they grovel to the establishment. And I'm not attacking police either. I'm just saying it's ridiculous to claim the Tea Party is going to link up with Muslim extremists, the Tea Party is going to blow up police. Any cop out there who's got any brain cells knows that's propaganda. So the question is, how will they sell the attack? They will provide the patsies. So you can see different game plans they've got. And you can see it all starting to come to a big, disgusting head right now. Anything else?
Yeah, actually, one last thing. You know, we've been talking about, or you've been talking about just being prepared and, you know, eating right and all that. And my thing is, everybody needs to get the survival seeds, you know, little vaults and things like that. But before you do that, you need to actually grow the food. You need to actually start a garden and learn how to actually garden. I mean, if you're going to depend on a survival seed vault and you've never grown before, you're in for a surprise. I mean, you actually need to get your gardens going, and it doesn't take much, and you can literally go out into your backyard and pick your dinner.
I hear you, and I appreciate your call. I've got fruit trees and a garden we plant, an early spring garden, a summer garden, and a fall garden. And especially if you have children, it's so much fun. Even if you have a small backyard, it's pretty easy to do. And I totally agree with you. People need to get the survival seed banks, save one, but plant the other. Even if you live in a city, they'll have community gardens where you can go get a free plot and plant it there. And it's just so enjoyable to take your own watermelon home, to take your own squash home, to take your own tomatoes home, to take your own peppers home. And if more people just get into it, big things have small beginnings, just like those seeds. Now is a perfect time to order a backup fall garden, winter garden. Before you know it, it'll be spring. We have the widest selection of non-GMO, high-quality organic seeds. We carry like 8 different companies' seeds at the lowest prices at the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsStore.com. And so that way you get a great price on something that helps you and your family and funds this operation. So a win-win-win at the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsStore.com. Let's talk to Casey in Ohio. Thanks for holding.
Hey, yeah, this is Casey in Oklahoma. Hey, I just wanted to bring up a point. You and Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs were talking last week. I believe it was on the anniversary of September 11th.
Yes.
How Obama didn't even mention anything about the Christians being attacked and killed by ISIS, ISIL, whatever the heck he wants to call them, you know, for this week or for this hour. And because what is in charge and who is in charge of the shadow government that we don't see, that people are just totally oblivious to because of the statism that they're force-fed every day and they accept it as gospel. It is a Luciferian, satanic cabal that is in charge that does nothing and wants nothing more than to control us and be tyrannical over every aspect of our lives. I know you said you just want people to talk about Ebola and stuff like that. You know, and earlier you had said something, what is it, the year of chaos? Or how did you say that? I forgot how you had said that.
It's just a season of chaos on every front. The people running world civilization are trying to wreck things on purpose, and we even have their own documents, like Agenda 21, where they admit it.
Exactly, exactly. And see, it goes back to something that this isn't a Bible, that the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, what would be the signs of the times of the end of the world? Jesus told them there will be wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. But he said something else after that that people forget. He said, then shall come the sorrows of sorrows such as never been seen before by man on the face of the earth. And this is that season of chaos that you're talking about. And these glitter bug 501c3 preachers that get up there and preach the rapture, you know, that we're going to be taken away and we're not going to have to suffer. Jesus said in the Bible, who are you that you should not suffer even as your master suffered? These people.
Well, sure, Christ said they'll persecute you like they persecuted me. And I'm not here being a Pharisee saying I'm all high and mighty and I'm great. I pray privately. My issue is these name it and claim it prosperity preachers have been linked to the government, and they're there purely trying to neutralize Christians so they won't be politically and culturally and spiritually involved, telling them everything's wonderful, like opiate, like a drug, like a sleeping gas, to put them into a trance. And it turns out they are clergy response team, certified government agents on record to pacify people. And let me tell you, I wouldn't want to be those preachers on Judgment Day, because leading your flock into the one world government, telling them that everything's great and the worst things get wonderful, it means Jesus is around the corner, that just sounds like a total cop-out. Does anybody who's a Christian think that God is looking for people like that? That God is testing us here to try to find people like that? That's why I'm so angry at these preachers. You can see these devil worshipers and other scum. They're out in the open, and I don't like them. But these sneaky government agents. In fact, guys, go to YouTube, type in clergy response team. It's a NBC News piece out of New Orleans where they have the preachers admitting we work for the government, so folks accept martial law. We broke that 3 years before with Pastor Butch Paul here on air, before it was finally admitted on the news. But now they think we're so stupid, they admit that they've turned most of our preachers into actual government agents, which totally violates the First Amendment. The First Amendment says government isn't supposed to be involved, not that government has a jurisdiction over religion. God bless you. I appreciate your call. We're going to go to break and come back with Kelly, Barbara, Frogo, Paul, and others. But before I do that, let's go out to break with this TV news piece on the clergy response team. Let's start it at the beginning. And then we'll go to break and come back.
Reality in America. Some fear any nuclear, biological, or chemical attack on U.S. territory might trigger just that. And as KSLA News 12 Jeff Farrell discovered, the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
From my cold, dead hands.
Charlton Heston's famous declaration captures a truly American value, the overarching desire to protect our freedoms. But gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. U.S. troops also arrived, something far easier to do even now thanks to last year's elimination of the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act that forbid U.S. troops from policing on American soil. If martial law were enacted here at home, like depicted in the movie The Siege, easing public fears and quelling dissent would be critical. And that's exactly what the clergy response team, as it's called, helped accomplish in New Orleans.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Such clergy response teams would walk a tightrope between the needs of the government versus the wishes of the public.
Oh. In a lot of cases, these clergy are going to be known in the neighborhoods.
And again, they begin the report saying, under martial law, the clergy response team will make you basically submit. We're going to break down what these wolves will do during a disaster.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Well, Rand Paul has come out and said arming Syrian rebels would empower ISIS. Video, Ebola patient escapes quarantine, spreads panic in Liberia. That's up on Infowars.com. Obama admits ISIS beheading videos help White House agenda. Establishment media attacking ISIS will turn Syria into a failed state. And, of course, the media does not recognize that this was the plan all along. U.S. State Department orders 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. That, my friends, is the big news. and is linked up on drudgereport.com, along with this headline, CDC says prepare for Ebola in U.S. hospitals. It's now officially saying that. Meanwhile, the British Prime Minister is heading to Scotland to boost no vote. Look at this headline. Robot sentry shoots targets automatically from 2 miles away. They're already making the ground, air, and sea robots autonomous, making their own decisions, completing the Skynet equation. Robot sentries that automatically shoots with a 50 caliber rifle people at 2 miles away. Samsung Group subsidiary has developed it. It's called the SGR-A1. And this particular robot will carry a fair amount of weapons that ought to make you think twice about crossing the borders of South Korea illegally. And it has been tested out of a demilitarized zone along the border with its neighbor, North Korea. This SGR-A1 will be able to detect intruders with the help of machine vision cameras alongside a combination of heat and motion sensors. Isn't that just precious? It looks like something directly out of RoboCop. Oh, boy. And, of course, it will follow orders, ladies and gentlemen, to go after the people. The whole idea of the Samsung SGR-A1 is to let the military robot sentry do the work of its human counterparts over a demilitarized zone with South and North border, so there will be minimal loss of life on the South Korean side just in case things turn sour. Oh, yeah, because North Korea hasn't promised to train 100,000 pieces of artillery on Seoul and burn it in a matter of hours, as it's estimated. No, this is giving control of human weapon systems to the machines and to the technocracy that runs it so they can launch attacks or false flags. This is just a disaster waiting to happen, and it's all unfolding. I got a lot of other news I'm going to be getting to, but let's race through your calls. Kelly in Texas, thanks for holding here on the air.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
He does. You're talking about all this Ebola and stuff, and what you just showed about these machine guns. There's your FEMA guards right there they're going to come to. But at any rate, with all these viruses and stuff, I lost my wife to Lou Gehrig's disease a year ago on Memorial Day.
I'm sad to hear that.
53 years old. Thanks. And she was in the federal system for a little bit, but I had to go back and look, and I think she got a flu shot. I've never had one, won't get one. I don't take anything like that at all, period. As a matter of fact, now I take your Survival Shield X2 and Vitality and all that because of all this. And I'm fixing to go have a surgery done at Wednesday on my shoulder, and I'm scared to go back in there because I don't know what's going to happen out of that. But I got to get it done so I can work. But my point is, all these viruses, we're in a post-antibiotic era now. We have nothing to touch it. Well, my wife was, I took care of her here in my home until she passed away. I took off of work to do it, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat because I wouldn't put her in a home. But the times that she had to go to the hospital, she got a infection of one of the superbugs, so-called superbugs they got in her urine. They said, well, there's no antibiotics that'll touch it. I just think that our government is evil. They're pulling out all stops. They're using several different fronts, being taken down at the borders, being these biological warfare that they're putting out on the public, which is what I think it is. And I don't think that they're stopping yet. They're trying to keep us confused so they can have so many different fronts, you just can't focus on one. That's my opinion.
That's right. And they put estrogen mimickers in the printer ink, in the food lining, to make women hyper-feminine that gives them thyroid problem, breast problems, you name it, and to make men feminine so there's no real men. Normal men, when they're being enslaved, take action. But they have lowered the testosterone on record by at least 50% in the average man living in an industrialized nation. I don't care if you're black, white, or Hispanic. Your testosterone has been artificially lowered by these people. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing, and lo and behold, Bertrand Russell wrote about lowering testosterone in the 1930s with additives in food and water. And lo and behold, in 1974, the year I was born, the current White House science czar wrote EcoScience. That, by the way, they've taken off Scrib online. They don't want you reading now. It was free online because it was a government textbook on their plan to sterilize the population through the food and water. They are doing it. God bless you, brother. Good to hear from you. Sorry about your wife. Barbara in Arizona, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm calling about the, about carriers of disease like Typhoid Mary.
Yes.
Yes, I have personal experience with that. It's with a dog and a cat, but, I mean, you know, it's the same thing. There was a dog that was a distemper carrier that gave my puppy distemper, and then afterwards the people tell me, oh, yeah, my dog's a, you know, carrier of distemper. But it was, they lived long lives. And then I had a cat in 81 that lived for 20 years that was a carrier of feline leukemia, and she never showed a symptom or anything, but it was verified by the vet that she, you know, was a carrier. I had to keep her away from everything and keep her in the house.
No, that's right. My parents had like three cats when I was growing up, and then they found out that one of them was a carrier of the cat AIDS or whatever it is that humans can't get, but it's HIV. And then it wasn't killing that cat, but that it was viral and would kill other cats. So they didn't get more cats after that until that cat had died because there's so many. I haven't worked for a vet in years, but what is it? There's kitty AIDS, and then there's kitty leukemia, like you said, that's transferable. And see, there's a lot of stuff in humans like this, too, that they won't tell you is viral. Like, they know a lot of type 1 diabetes that they claim is genetic is really, and this isn't me because I'm not a medical doctor. I've been told this by medical doctors on air. I've seen it. I've been told by people at the Dell Medical Center here in Austin. I've talked to folks that have been involved that they're getting pancreatitis from a virus. And they're telling them, well, it's genetic now, when they know full well it's a virus that's done it and that their pancreas might turn back on. But once they put them on the insulin, it's not going to turn back on. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right, yes.
Most cancer is viral. That's been known since the 20s.
Right.
Go ahead.
And I was just going to, you know, so that's why, you know, people, yeah, they could be carrying Ebola all around and, you know, and they show no symptoms, live a long life, just like Typhoid Mary. And the other thing I want to say is I'm a member of, Prison Planet.
Thank
you. I share it with my family and friends, and I just want to thank you so much for my being able to do that, to share it.
Ma'am, thank you so much. I'm going to say this again. I am overall a very good person. Compared to everybody I know, I'm probably one of the nicest, most moral people I know. But I still have really bad thoughts, and I'm a wicked person. We all are. So when you tell me thank you and how great I am, it is such a responsibility to be here on air. It is so humbling to be here on air and to have so many people counting on me while I stammer and stutter and, you know, do all my little tics and things that I do. That's why I want to tell you, you don't need to thank me. We're all in this together. We love justice and truth so much that we even hate our own worldliness, even though it's not that big compared to people we would call bad. But when you really meet somebody who is awake and does know what's going on, they are always very humble. It's because you're then aware of your own shortcomings and other people. And it's not that it hurts me when you say thank you and things. It's that you're counting on me so much that then I feel like I'm not working enough. I'm not doing a good enough job. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. Yes, but yeah.
I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It's a feeling. But listen, God bless you. I appreciate your call. I mean, I'd liken it to a video we never aired of Australia. I think it was Australia, where a train ran over a guy's leg and it was stuck on top of his leg. And one person got over there and started pushing on the train and nothing happened. But then pretty soon everybody gets on the big train and they lean the whole train up so they can get his leg out from under it. Now, if government would have tried to do that, he'd have died of shock. It had taken a day to get a crane in there and get it off his leg. But the people took action together and they knew how to push the train, how to get it off his leg, and then how to set it back down. But it'd be like if I was pushing on the train and you were thanking me for pushing on the train. Listen, if I'm not pushing on the train, you need to be punching me in the nose, figuratively. It's not exceptional to push on the train or to pick the car up off the kid. And in the fact that we think it's exceptional, and by the way, when I see a police officer helping a lady change her tire, I want to pull over and thank them. I want to write a letter of commendation, you know, to the police chief saying I saw him doing something good. And then it clicks. That's what cops used to do most of the time when they weren't on a call, not because they were little pathetic servants, but because they were real men and knew that was the highest order, was going out and helping children and women and things like that. It was chivalry. So then I think, no, I don't need to thank that cop, but I need to point out that there are good people like that out there so that that becomes the example of what it is to be manly and good. But it's not something extra wonderful. It's the bare minimum level that we should expect, or we become self-centered, arrogant blobs, myself included, entitled. I said it earlier. I can't help it. When I go out and like eat some expensive seafood dinner and I think about all the starving children around the world, I feel guilty. And I know it's good to go eat a nice seafood dinner and pay the waiter a nice tip and have a restaurant. But I see how the fake left controls well-meaning people, that any type of wealth is bad, because they take people who have empathy and who feel guilty when they're doing better than others, and they manipulate us into turning over our lives to the state to have our money spent where they would. So I'm going to do an analogy soon, or a parallel video, or maybe even really do it for real if a restaurant would let me, where I want to go in and sit down with hidden cameras at a table at a nice restaurant and say, mind if I have half your iced tea and half your steak? They're going to say, get out of here, you're crazy. And I'm going to say, well, I'm the government, or I'm these corporations that want government welfare. It's the equivalent of coming and sitting down at your dinner table. See, where is their guilt? I feel guilty if I've got a new Ford F-150 pickup truck. I mean, I bought it 2 years ago, but I consider it to be new. Meanwhile, I see people who are government bureaucrats I know stole the money, driving brand new Mercedes, and they're all glitter bugs getting off on people looking at them in their fancy vehicle. And I'm not saying a fancy vehicle is bad in and of itself. I'd love to drive some 700 horsepower sports car, but not because I want to be looked at, because I want to drive a fast car. And again, I'm kind of waxing philosophical, and I'm not even giving answers here. I'm just talking about what goes on in my mind, because I have a conscience, I have guilt, I have guilt about things I shouldn't even have guilt about, because I intellectually know the right thing. But there's that internal dialogue where I'm trying to be a good person, trying to really be honorable, trying to not just say I'm a good person, but I'm trying to really be one. There's that compared to these sociopaths and psychos who are running around everywhere, who just think because it's for them and what they want, why, then it's fine, and you can go die in a ditch. And I know there's a mass awakening happening right now, because things that have been going on for a long time that nobody made a big deal out of are now all over the news. Wall Street Journal, New York Times. Let me find it right here. It doesn't matter. I got a whole bunch of articles here on this subject today where police all over the country are pulling people over who haven't stolen anything or don't have drugs on them and taking their $5,000 or $2,000 or even taking their car. One of the headlines today is when cops became robbers. And there's a whole stack of news here about how the big banks are caught laundering drug money. And that's old news for our audience, but it's not old news for the general public that's just now waking up. Here's Boston Globe today and Reason.com. Both have articles. Police seizures of cash rise, fueled by private training firms. And then there's another one that we just mentioned out of Reason, when cops become robbers. And it's a federal program, because the states, it got abused 20 years ago. The state said, okay, cops can only keep, you know, 10% of the money they seize now for the department. You can't have 90% of it. You are clearly out there robbing old ladies in these departments. And so the feds came along and said, we'll give you 75-80% if you will put the money into a federal program. Well, that just federalized the police. I've been talking about this since I got on air. And it's now, no exaggeration, when I go through my stack every day the last month, it's in the stack four or five times. I only found two of these while I was sitting there fumbling around looking for it right now when I remembered it. There's probably five of these today in the stack, and you'd think Alex Jones wrote all these. And let me tell you, in the past, it would be some weird boss hog thing in Louisiana or Texas, because most towns, the cops weren't criminals robbing you, but you'd pull into the wrong town, and the cop walks over and is obviously a criminal, looking at you with a criminal look in his eyes, giggling at you, says, let me see your driver's license. And they go, that's a lot of money. I've even had this happen to me, and I go, $200, a lot of money? Where'd you get it? Bet there's something on it. This actually happened to me once. That's $200. They didn't take it. They pull over an old lady. She's got $3,000 in there. They know old ladies tend to carry a lot of money on them, especially Depression-era women. They might carry half their money with them in their purse. And I'm going to need you to step to the back. They get you in the out there. They rob you. They go, I'm going to take it. And if you don't do it, I'm going to go ahead and arrest you. And I know there's going to be drugs on this money because they know all money has drugs on it unless it's brand new. And then they do that in one town in Texas. CNN had a special on it. They had robbed something like 20,000 people a year like that. And let me tell you, you get pulled over by a cop with double swastikas on their forearms. Oh, I forgot that part. One time we were actually speeding when I was a teenager. And we'd even been drinking beer, not a lot of it. But we both had blonde hair and blue eyes. And the guy literally said, oh, you're white, Heil Hitler. And then you can go. And we were like, whoa. Oh, my God. I don't know. This is incredible. Stay with us. I apologize that I've been a little bit scatterbrained today, but some people say those are the best shows. My children never wake up a lot at night unless they're sick. But my daughter, for whatever reason, I don't know if she snuck caffeine or what, woke up, I'm not exaggerating, 10 times last night and came into my bedroom and was waking me up. And so I feel great today, but I can tell I'm going to crash later with no sleep. I mean, it's weird when you don't get sleep, you're almost more hyper early in the day, but then later you're like brain dead. That's how I'm starting to feel right now. So the show has been a bit all over the map today. I think the point I was getting to, though, about having a cop in East Texas want to rob the money out of my wallet for no reason in a small town, and then another one letting me and my buddy go because he was a racist. And well, what happens when the towns are all Hispanic? They're only going to give whites tickets? Or I mean, I don't want to live in a country where they're pulling black people over and giving them tickets because they're black. Or I drive into a black town and I get mugged and killed because I'm white. Well, whites treat us bad, so I'm going to kill you. It's just like I want to live somewhere where people are treated off what they stand for and not stereotypes. But then the so-called left thinks they've captured the moral high ground saying that when they're the ones pushing it more than any Ku Klux Klan ever could. And I've now gone full circle from Ebola in Africa and the epidemic to going off into police all over the country. Now state police, mainline police forces are robbing money out of your wallet. That's a lot of money. They're taking as little as $500 now. And it is highway robbery, and it is criminal. I'm not evil because I want to carry some cash. Sometimes I give family in their stockings and stuff for Christmas. I'll get $2,000 or $3,000 out of the bank and, give all the kids and cousins and the family $200 or whatever. I mean, am I bad when I'm carrying around $2,000 on me? It's my money. And don't give me your fake drug war excuse when the government ships in the majority of it. And I've got a whole bunch of news articles today about Bank of America, Citibank, you name it, caught laundering billions in drug money. The drug war should have been over in the 90s when it came out the CIA was shipping most of the cocaine in. Our government grows the opium in Afghanistan. It's compartmentalized. 97% of the government doesn't know about it. Just like 97% of the government doesn't know that the DEA and other agencies listen to all the phone calls and have full access to the NSA illegally with parallel construction and then engage in fraud. Overthrowing the entire judiciary system. Frogo in England, I apologize. I didn't know you were holding from England. I didn't see that it said England. Thanks for calling. You want to talk about Scottish, British independence?
Yep. Hi, Alex.
Thanks for calling,
finally
brother.
Done it.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Ah, you can hear me. Good. Right, the line's run funny all of a sudden. Hi, Alex. Well, I finally rung up. So, the British Prime Minister is going to Scotland to boost the no vote, is he? No, he's there to boost the yes vote. Because who the hell is going to do what David Cameron says?
Well, that's right. Having that snobby Tory up there, when everybody knows Scotland has always leaned towards Labour, that would actually make Scots vote against him, wouldn't it?
So, the Better Together campaign, what are its great stars? David Cameron, the man who called the referendum, I have more to say about that. Her Britannic Majesty, Mick Jagger, and a bunch of non-entities. Oh, Nick Clegg. And,
okay, I get what you're saying. You're saying they actually want to make them vote to leave so that then megabanks can loot Scotland. Or I don't put words in your mouth. I'm going to do some overdrive. I'm going to come back to you. But I want to explain to listeners. Do you know why with listeners, everybody goes, hello, 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 am I there? It's because the Talos phone system that most stations have makes a psh noise when it goes to you and people think they've been disconnected. I hate that phone system because of that. But it's industry standard. It works well. It's
you
a very nice phone system. But for 19 years on air, I've had to deal with people
today
wondering what that sound is. That's why I'm irritated. Not with you, but with that.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There's a lot of news breaking on the Ebola front. You name it. We'll be covering it tonight, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWars Nightly News. Going back to Frogo in England, what's your bottom line on Scottish independence? I have said I'm all for Scotland being independent from the UK because the UK is already under EU control to begin with. You've almost got to devolve to be able to evolve in these political systems now, and it's their right. But yes, there are a lot of big mega banks and others that are even bigger than the UK itself. They're going to come in and try to loot Scotland afterwards. What's your take on it?
Scottish, quote, independence, unquote, is a screw job of Obamacare proportions. Is it not weird? Cameron is claiming that he's in favor of preserving the Union, that he is the man who pushed for the referendum. When the SNP had been pumping that line for about 30 years that I can remember.
Well, is that because it'll get rid of Labour voters and he thinks it'll help his party?
You got it. You totally got it. It will kind of decimate the Labour Party's chances of winning an election in what's left of the UK. It will mean permanent Tory government in England and Wales. It will also mean permanent Tory government in Scotland, because the only serious opposition to the Labour Party for the last 20 years is the SNP. Now, if I were the Tory party, if I were Tory central office, I would observe the steady decline in the fortunes of the party in Scotland. It used to be a Tory heartland. Andrew Bonar Law, Tory Prime Minister, had a constituency in Glasgow. And somehow the party went from doing quite nicely there to having zero seats.
There's no doubt they're going to try to screw different globalist interests will try to screw any new deal that comes up. I hear you. I just fundamentally, if Texas tries to secede, there'll be some scam involved to take that over. Anything and everything will get manipulated, but we're going to find out very soon. I do see what you're saying. I am aware of what you're saying. That's how I was able to predict what you were about to say. I just want to show that I know UK politics a little bit. I'm not just talking out of my you-know-what here. Arse, as they would say in Scotland. But thank you so much. Look, I'm basically out of time. One more call. Paul in California. Sorry to Debbie, TJ, and JP. Paul, you're our tail gunner. Go ahead.
Thanks. I think, money's important, the truth is important, and the easiest thing for us to get them waiting for a shoe to drop is attack them, and that's through audit the Fed.
And Ron Paul's bill, even though he's not in Congress, is back in the House again, getting a lot of votes.
Yeah, we need to get them worried as opposed to us being worried about all of the stuff they're throwing at us. And I think that audit the Fed is the way.
Good point, sir. I want to go to JP real quick since he's still there. I didn't know the Feds purchased the Biodome. JP, tell me about that.
Well, in February of this year, I was doing some work for a production company looking for new shows in North Carolina because it's a hotspot. I was doing on survivalists. I came across this company called The Biodome, and this interesting guy. I started talking to him. He came up with a filtration system that he had the government, the military test, and it blew away anything that they had. So even the inspector for the military actually.
Okay, when you said Biodome, I thought you meant that thing that NASA was involved in to test a Mars base. You're talking about some kind of filter?
Exactly. And bottom line is he got a military contract to supply any vehicle that the government has with these bio. And he said, look, you know, by the end of the year, I'm going to be a billionaire. And it's crazy. I'll give you the website. I don't know if you want it.
Yeah, send us the email and show tips. We're out of time. Great job to the crew. We are out of time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, Nightly News Tonight, 7. That's because as crazy as this world is and as big as this broadcast is, I don't take it for granted that we're here every day. I thank God above because we got a lot of enemies out there, so please pray for us. Thank you all.